Good afternoon, book clubbers, and welcome to this, our 30th After School Book Club. It's our 162nd live show altogether. It's Wednesday, the 6th of October, 2021, and this is a great show.
You're listening to The Book Club on LearnRadio.net with Russell Prue.
And a very good afternoon to you folks. Hello, thank you, and welcome to the show. Good to have your company today. It's just me, unfortunately. The lovely Maria has stepped out of this week's show. It's just me and our fabulous guest. You'll have to get used to it. I'm so sorry, but it's a good to have your company this afternoon. We are completely and utterly live broadcasting across the planet, and we'd love to hear from you. And don't forget, just head to learnradio.net. Everything is there for you to click on and find for your delectation. You can text us, you can tweet us, you can email us, and we'd love to give you a shout out on the show. We're on Instagram and Facebook as well, and our very special guest will be with us in just a moment. It is Catherine Jacob, and a lovely book, I have to say. We absolutely loved it here in the studio, and we'll be featuring this, and Catherine is actually going to read from this book in our show. It's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous, and in the hands of a really confident educator, this will start a really good conversation with some very young people. We like it. The bees need saving. And I tweeted Chris Packham. I'm still waiting for that reply, Chris, this afternoon. Last week's show, folks, is still up on the webpage, and you can catch that as well. Josephine Against the Sea. This was really good. Shakira Bourne joined us all the way from Barbados last week. It's a great title. You can watch the show, listen to it again, and actually go through the questions and everything on the website. Just go to learnradio.net/Josephine Against the Sea, and everything is there. Now, all of the show pages are on the website, easy peasy for you to find. Today's webpage you need to go to is learnradio.net/ Betsy Bug Love Saves the Bees, and it's a gorgeous title. We absolutely loved it. If you want to follow Catherine on Twitter, you'll find everything on the show page, links to all of her work and some amazing stuff. This just a very talented young lady as well. You'll find everything on there for her. Want to say a big shout out to the Blue House Bookshop in York. Now, Catherine put us on to them. A big hello to Karen and Richard there. Hello, I said I'd promise I'd wave to you, and thank you so much indeed for your links. If you'd like a hardback version, we've got links to the hardback version to this and to the actual more flexible one as well. All the details there, and that's one of Catherine's best choice bookshops. We love small independent bookshops. They are the heart of books in this country, and we absolutely love it. I think that's absolutely essential. Right, let's bring our fabulous guest out of the green room, where she's been enjoying some of her hospitality, a virtual cup of tea and a slightly low calorie slice. Really good to have your company. Here she is, Catherine Jacob, ladies and gentlemen. Put those hands together and welcome them. Hello, Catherine. How are you today? So good to have you with us.
Hi, Russell. Yeah, I'm very well. Thank you. I am actually in while I was waiting there. And yeah, hard act to follow. I'm here in Yorkshire. So, you know, from Barbados to Yorkshire.
I know.
It's not bad, though.
It's good. Is that Yorkshire tea? Can I just check that with you? Of course it is.
It is. Of course it is.
Of course it is. Well, thank you so much. Welcome to the show, and thank you so much. We've waited a little while for you, and it's been a worthwhile wait. I'm sure. Just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, please, Catherine, by way of an introduction.
Well, what can I say? Well, I'm sitting here at home in York. I just live in a village just outside it. I guess I'm first and foremost a mum of three. I've got three kids under 11. But in my other working life, my main job now, I guess it's split both ways between being a children's writer, as you've heard all about a little bit anyway, and also being a journalist. I've been a journalist for 20 years, actually, working in radio, first of all, and then television. So, a bit of everything, but always involving writing and now involving organising children.
I love it. I'd wonder how much, I might ask you a bit later on, what's the transfer of skills dealing with directors, producers and writing for young children's literature as well? What an amazing combination. And I think you're probably our first author. We've had some that have of mixed talent. Some have come from teaching backgrounds, but I don't think anyone from the broadcasting industry, which is a real pleasure. Thank you so much. Indeed, we're enjoying the quality and the breadth of your presenting skills. I'm sure we'll have a fabulous show. And thank you so much again for joining us. Listeners, viewers, thank you so much. On the webpage there, learnradio.net, go immediately to the book club button. You'll find at the top of the page, you can click on next live broadcast if you prefer. If you're listening on your smart speaker or on a podcast afterwards and you'd like to find the show page, just go to learnradio.net/Betsy Buglove. I love that name. Betsy Buglove Saves the Bees. All one word, or you can just look us up on your favourite podcast feed. Everything is up there for us as well. Now, if you want like to write us a note, you'll find our Padlets are open and available. They require no registration and everything is modified for your safeguarding pleasure. You'll find everything there as well. Give us a plus key on the bottom right hand corner. Find that little pink plus key. Write your name. First names only, please, if you are a young person. If you're a member of staff, then we'll take anything you like, honestly, on there. And then underneath that, pop your question there. We'd love to get your question. I'll get those questions to Catherine in the show. Thank you so much indeed. Let's start with our very first question here. And while listeners want to know, how did you decide on the title of the story? Why the bees, Catherine?
Well, Betsy Buglove, I guess, came from my own little girl. She's now nearly 12, actually. But I actually wrote the story for her when she was 4 or 5. She was a child and still is, who always was out in the garden with her nose buried under rocks and stones, looking for woodlice and spiders and bees and you name it, caterpillars, anything creepy crawly. She still loves them. And they actually, whenever she's in the garden, you can be guaranteed that a butterfly, a bee, something will land on Isla. She'll find a frog. Something will happen. So as with most of my picture books, certainly, I do write them for my own children to entertain them. And this was one of those. As to the bees, lots of different reasons. It's always been a subject very close to my heart. Might talk a little bit later. I was an environment correspondent for a few years before I had children. And the decline of bees and the importance of bees was always a story that was coming up a lot. And when I worked with Scholastic, we wanted to highlight that plight, really, but also show little people, show children that they can make a big difference to bees and to the world around them too. So Betsy Buglove Saves the Bees was born. As for the name Betsy Buglove, you know, it's just one of those things that popped into my head, as picture books always do. The rhyme starts in my head, and this was the name that popped up. It's not my daughter's name, but it just, you know, it sums it up. Buglove by name, Buglove by nature. She loves creepy crawlies, and that's her.
Says what it does on the tin, and we like that. It is plain and simple, but she's such a lovable character. I've got some more questions about her as well. Now, when you were young, what sort of life-changing gift did you have that kind of made things different for you? Because, of course, Betsy had a magnifying glass, a very special one, a magical one. Did you have anything like that?
Sadly, I didn't have a magical magnifying glass. I wish I had. And actually, that again came from my little 5-year-old then, who said, oh, I wish I could talk to the bugs, Mummy. I wish I had a glass that could let me speak to them. And of course, that was how the magical magnifying glass was born. And to me, when I was a child, what was life-changing? Lots of things, I guess. I love music. I'm a flautist. So I suppose the first time I ever played the flute, that was a really magical thing to receive. Again, I'm a big netballer. The first time I played netball, that changed my life. I still play it now at the age of 40 something. I guess, you know, the gift of, what can I say, I've always loved writing, always loved writing as a child. So, you know, that ability to know that you can go anywhere in your imagination. I had some really fabulous English teachers who gave me that gift of saying, right, you know, you can go anywhere. So I suppose maybe those three things.
No, I like that. The gift. I love that. Writing as a gift. What a fabulous idea, rather than an inanimate object. Writing as a gift. What an amazing thing. And he very kindly offered to read from the book. We absolutely loved it. It almost smells of bees, I have to say, when you open it up as well. And I know Lucy can't be with us, but Lucy Fleming, ladies and gentlemen, is the illustrator here. Some stunning drawings in here. They just make the whole story pop out of the book at you and grab you. I mean, a real shame and that she can't join us as well. But look at this, just absolutely gorgeous, those illustrations in there, folks. And this is a gorgeous title to use as a class read or for young people to wander through it on their own. Now, you've very kindly offered to read from it. What are you going to read from us?
I will indeed, yeah. And yes, hi to Lucy, who isn't feeling so well today, but she will no doubt join you another time. I mean, you know, Lucy has brought Betsy to life perfect. I couldn't have asked for a better illustrator. It's just beautiful, and she can often be found in her garden herself with her cats drawing nature. She loves drawing nature.
Wow.
And someone did say about the cover, you know, you will never walk past this book in a shop without wanting to pick it up, because her illustrations are just so sumptuous. I'm very lucky indeed. So I will read you a little bit from our book now. I think I'll just start at the beginning. I'll tell you what I should mention as well for teachers particularly, and for anyone interested in nature, are the end papers. Do you know what end papers are? So at the start of every illustrated book, teachers will know, I'm sure, and probably pupils as well, there's always end papers. These have brilliant bud facts in them. So, you know, things like, some butterflies in the Amazon rainforest smell of popcorn. Did you know that? There's loads of bug facts all the way through this book, which are great for EYFS and Key Stage 1. And really super interesting for anyone, too, parents included. But yeah, let's start the story. And let me just read you a little bit up to the point where Betsy receives this life-changing gift from her mysterious granny. In a big bustling town lived a girl who loved bugs. From earthworms to ladybirds, woodlice to slugs. While spiders or ants might make some scream in fright, to her, creepy crawlies were such a delight. Her name, Betsy Buglove. It suits her, it's true. If you were an insect, then she'd love you too. If ever an insect fell into some trouble, kind Betsy would be there to help on the double. A butterfly trapped in a web, very sticky. A tangled up centipede, that one was tricky. A slug who'd been caught in the sun in a hurry. With Betsy's sharp eyes, no bug needed to worry. Then on Betsy's 6th birthday, her life was to change. Her gran sent a gift with a note that seemed strange. Dear Betsy, it read, you remind me of me when I was a girl. I love bugs too, you see. The present I've sent you is special, unique. For when you look through it, you'll hear insects speak, love gran. So Betsy unwrapped it right there on the grass. Inside it, whoops. A magic magnifying glass. Now, this is my favourite page in the book because I get to do all the bug voices. So I'll do those for you before the end, okay? I'll leave it here, but let me do these voices. So she's got her magical magnifying glass. She peered through the glass as some ants marched on by. Climb over that rock, lads, she heard their chief cry. A wasp whizzed along. Hey, get out of my way. Slow down, called a snail. It's a beautiful day. Where am I and lost, buzzed a bumbling fly. This way, sang a spider, a glint in her eye. I'm off to find veg, said a young caterpillar. My stomach is rumbling, and I need to fill her. And on it goes, and through the course of the story, Betsy and us, the reader, are introduced to next door neighbour Stan, who has a bit of an issue with bugs. I'm not going to tell you what happens, but over the course of the story, you find out that actually, Stan is not overly keen at the start on creepy crawlies and things that move and going outside at all. But there is a very good reason for it, and Betsy gets to the bottom of it. And in the end, she helps Stan to see that bugs are amazing, and bees particularly.
She certainly does as well. Thank you so much. It's beautiful. The rhyming couplets are just gorgeous. It just jumps off the page, Catherine. It's an amazing achievement. Thank you very much indeed. Folks, if you want to follow us, it's easy peasy. Just go to the website, learnradio.net, and put a /Betsy Buglove saves the bees on there as well. It's 14 minutes past four. Going to take a short music break now. Time for you to write on the Padlets. We'd love to pose a question to the wonderful Catherine. She's here to take your questions as well. Anything you like about any of her other titles, you can see there's something very interesting off your left hand shoulder there as well. We'll get to that troll a little later on in the show, if that's all right. Just be absolutely perfect. All of the music choices this week have been inspired by the title itself, and we'd love to catch you after our music track. Catherine and I will be back then.
This is the After School Book Club from learnradio.net.
Certainly is, folks. Thank you so much indeed. A couple of you are having some trouble with the website there as well. Everything is up from my point of view. If you want to just restart your browser or probably log off and log back on again, I think it is probably local. We're not in any way affiliated with Facebook or Instagram, so there should be no technical problems or outages today from us, I have to say. I'm looking at all of my reports. Everything looks good. If you're having a problem, I suspect it's local. But as Catherine very, very beautifully pointed out, you can watch this again, folks, and you can listen to it again. You can download it with your favorite podcast reader after the show. And thank you so much indeed. Never Ending Story there by Limahl takes you back. That was a long time ago. I've got that on vinyl, folks. It's that old as well. Thanks so much indeed for getting in contact. Some of you have already been in touch, and we really, really absolutely love your questions on the website. And thank you so much indeed for that as well. Just looking at this, Simon says another great show lined up for us here. Thank you, you too. Well, obviously, you wrote that before you knew that I've got a message from Maria. I'll read that in a second. Thank you so much. We're looking forward to this at Springfield Primary School. So hello to everyone at Springfield Primary School. Simon, thanks so much. A long-term listener, and it's always good to hear from folks who've got in touch there. Now, Maria says, with the magic of technology, I'm listening all the way from Poland. Bless you, Maria. Oh, we're making such a hash of the show without you. How wonderful to listen to Catherine. Wish I was there. Bless you. We're not doing travel, but we could do a travel show, Maria. We could do Wish You Were There, I think. Hello, I'm pleased you had a safe flight, and thank you so much indeed. I wasn't going to tell everyone where you were, but as you've done that now, that's okay. Ash says, where did this idea come from? You kind of answered that, but if you just wrap that up in an answer for us again, please, Catherine. Where did the idea of the book come from?
Well, I can answer it in a different way, actually, because yes, it was inspired, Betsy Bugler was inspired by my little girl, but in particular, Saves the Bees was inspired by bees. And my editor at Scholastic, Fizz Osborne, who is a wonderful, wonderful lady, we had a chat, and we really wanted to sort of show little readers and the teachers and parents that everyone can make a difference to the plight of bees. I'm sure you know that there are different reasons, a couple of big reasons, why bees numbers are in decline across the world. You know, there's habitat loss, people building on lovely meadowlands, etc., pesticide use, and also, which is, you know, kind of things happening in farming which are bad for bees, and also bee diseases as well. But the biggest one is habitat loss. And so we really wanted to show in Betsy Buglove Saves the Bees that just by doing simple things like growing wildflowers in your garden, letting wildflowers grow, perhaps not all over the garden, you know, your parents might not be that pleased about that, but, you know, maybe in a little patch, and growing particular types of flowers, you can help bees to find a lovely home. And particularly, do you know, for example, there's some brilliant facts about bees. Bees love purple flowers. They're their favourites. They can see purple more clearly than any other colour. So lots of purple flowers, things like all sorts of things, like buddleia or dahlia or heather ivy. They love ivy at this time of year, this late summer, sort of coming into autumn sort of time. So, yeah, the plight of bees and helping bees and showing, like the last line in the book says, see, you can make a difference, although you're quite small. And that's the case when it comes to nature, isn't it? We can all do our little bit.
Oh, lovely. Well done, Ash. Thank you so much. Great question. Now, Jazbee has been in touch. I'd like to ask Catherine, who decides on the pictures and what input do you have as the author on the book there, Catherine?
Really good question. And that, of course, depends on whether you're just an author or an author illustrator. In my case, I just do the words. So I don't do the pictures. Some people do. Some very clever people indeed. But I start with the text. I write the words. The story comes into my head. Quite often, when it's a picture book, I write in rhyme, as in the case of Betsy Buglove. And then what happens is you might have an idea in your head of who might be the perfect match, but really it's down to the publisher who will work with you to decide on a perfect match. And in the case of Lucy Fleming, Fizz at Scholastic just had this wonderful, wonderful idea of the partnership in her head. And as soon as I actually knew Lucy's illustrations from my own children, they read another series of books which had her illustrations in and they loved. So as soon as I heard that they were thinking with Lucy and that Lucy was kind enough to say yes, I just thought, oh, this is the perfect match. And sure enough, I mean, I couldn't have hoped for a more lovely job. So so it's down to Lucy then, and Lucy uses her artistic license and goes with the text. You can tell from her pictures in the book that she is a big nature lover herself. There's so many detailed you know, you'll recognize flowers from your garden, you'll recognize all the bugs, you'll recognize lots of detail there that children and their teachers can pore over in class. It's brilliant from that point of view for, you know, EYFS and Key Stage 1 children. So Lucy then takes it away. I get, first of all, what's called a set of roughs. Lucy does those. I get them. They're sort of black and white, maybe a little bit of colour in them. And then the designer comes in, the wonderful designer. It's Scholastic, and work out where to put the text. So, you know, for example, on certain pages, the text might be kind of spinning around illustrations, etc. And they decide on which illustrations to use, which not, the end papers, and then it's all put together in a big package. So it's a real team effort between us all, and myself and Lucy, and then you have hopefully a beautiful book at the end of it.
You certainly do have a beautiful book, and those editors certainly earn their money, I have to say, because it is beautifully put together. I think we all just have this lovely romantic concept that you all just work together in some beautiful harmony, but often illustrators and authors occasionally don't ever meet, and it's a very interesting way of how the book comes together. But thank you so much for that. We've had another.
I was just going to chip in. Actually, I should have mentioned as well. I've said about Biz, but Chris as well at Scholastic, who's been brilliant. It was her idea for the end papers in this book, which is fantastic. But yes, you're right. Lucy and I, illustrator, and I have never actually met in person.
Wow.
Although we have a lot. No, so we keep meaning to, because we're not too far away. We're both in the north of England. So yes, we certainly shall as time goes on.
Well, last year has been pretty tricky to do a whole range of things, which is how we came about in the first place, to bring these kind of book clubs into schools in a nice, safe, secure fashion. But very interesting times as well. Another comment on there. Thank you so much indeed. Now, you haven't popped your name on here. If you want to come back, you can always edit your post-it on the Padlet there as well. We're just clicking back there. Only you can edit yours. So I don't know who it is, but do you have any tips for getting little ones involved in nature and the environment?
Do I have tips? Well, having been through 11 years with my own three children, all of whom like nothing better than to be up a tree or in mud or splashing in, a stream, I would just say, get out and about, even if it looks like, you know, my husband's a bit of a fair weather person, and he will say, oh, forecast says drizzle at about 11 a.m. But, you know, I think you get your wetsuit on or whatever it is, you know, your outdoor suit.
Snorkel.
Not your snorkel. get your wellies on, get wrapped up. We have a dog as well, so that helps, because you've got to get out in all weathers. Once adults are outside, you really feel like you can just breathe, and everywhere you look, if you look down, whatever you're looking at, there is stuff to discover. I can guarantee that wherever we go, whether it's in a village, in a town, somewhere, there will be something we'll discover nature-wise. And even, you know, I live in York, there's a couple of lovely little green areas, you're in trees. You can just breathe, can't you? And nature is fun, and it makes you feel happy. It's good. It's good to get out.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that question. Folks, if you really ask that, start with the book. If you're only indoorsy to start with, this will spark their interest. I can guarantee it. I will put money on this for you as well. And you kind of see the outdoor and the things that I won't give the whole story away, but when you see what Betsy gets up to, that will motivate your young people. Give them a spyglass, a magnifying glass, and send them out with we've all done kind of mini beasts and stuff in the classroom, and some great ideas. Send them out with a project, folks. Send them out with a reason and a purpose, and just kick them out in the wet as well. That's what I say. There's no such thing as absolutely no there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing. That's what we say there.
Bad clothing.
Get them out there, and from Yorkshire you'll know that kind of weather, won't you?
Well, I'm looking out the window, it's glorious sunshine this evening after a terrible few days of rain. But at the moment, you know, Conkers, that's a brilliant thing. You know, down not too far from where I live here, there's this huge horse chestnut, which incidentally is a bee's favourite tree. But there are loads of Conkers everywhere at the moment. And, you know, my 5-year-old loves nothing better than going, we've got Conkers everywhere. You will end up, I'm sure lots of people listening to this will end up with Conkers coming out of their ears in their houses at the moment. What do you do with them? But there's loads of craft activities you can then do. The leaves that you can collect, bring them back, get some glue out, sellotape if you haven't got any. You know, make a lovely picture. You know, you can draw a tree, stick the leaves on, draw some, you know, the kids can get involved. There's loads and loads you can do with what you bring back from the outside as well. Obviously, if you bring back any living things, which occasionally does happen here, you obviously need to put them back into nature once whichever little mini beast has kind of said hello and back out in the garden goes or whatever.
Said hello.
Yeah. My children are obsessed with little things, creepy crawly things. When my daughter was little, she used to not, rather than dolls, she used to have families of woodlice out on the lawn and have them all, you know, named, and the mum and the dad. And she'd play for hours with this woodlice family, and off they'd scuttle, and then the next one would come along. And yes, there's lots to be done in nature.
And we need lots more young people like that, I can tell you. They're the folk that are going to come up with the innovative solutions around all of this. Keep those questions coming, folks. Thank you so much indeed for all of you who've already been in contact. You can get in contact again if we say anything and you'd like another question or come back with a response. We are very welcome to do it as well. Now, picture books are incredibly powerful as well. I wonder whether you had or can remember a favourite picture book whilst you were growing up, Catherine. Anything really piqued your interest or captured your mind or changed your direction in any way?
Oh, so many. Now you're asking me, you put me on the spot. What picture books did I love? All sorts. There was one that I used to really vivid. In fact, another one that I got recently for my own children, I tracked it down. There's one called Bedtime for Frances. And to my shame, now the name of the illustrator and author. But Bedtime for Frances, it's all about a little girl, a little animal who can't sleep, and that has stayed with me. It's just a brilliant book, and it's really vivid, all about a little girl who kind of sees her dressing gown on the back of the door and thinks it's a monster, and then she, you know, there's all these things that happen to her in the night, and her parents are going through. It's just brilliant, both for the older reader and the child reader too. And I recently got that for my children. There was another one that I've just ordered a couple of months ago actually for them, which they love too. It's called Emergency Mouth. I don't know whether you remember it. It's about a little boy in a hospital, and he stays overnight and realizes there's a whole mouse hospital going on in the skirting boards of the ward in the hospital. So Emergency Mouth is another one that really has stayed with me. But loads of amazing books. You know, with my own kids now, we're picture booktastic here, obviously. And lots of the classics. You know, Jill Murphy's Peace at Last. We've got the Mog books. Megan Mog. I can't even begin to tell you the wealth of wonder that you can get from picture books. And I always do say as well that, you know, let children, even if they are older, my 11, 12-year-old still loves poring over wonderful illustrations in picture books. I know that children need to speed on and accelerate through their chapter books as well, but never are you too old to pick up a wonderful picture book and look at the delights inside. There's some great ones out at the moment. Can I name a few?
Oh, please do.
You know, author illustrator friends, for example, I'm sure you've probably heard of Lou Fraser. She's a good author friend of mine. She's got The Littlest Yak, which is a wonderful book about the bigness inside of all of us. Won all sorts of awards as well, but that's a wonderful, wonderful book, beautifully illustrated as well, by Kate. And also The Viking Who Liked Icing, that's a big favourite in our house at the moment, about a little boy who likes baking, not so much the sword fighting, which is his sister's bag, but that's a great one too. What else? The Pet by Kath Emmett, that's a great one for anyone who likes unusual pets. Ooh, Never Show a T-Rex a Book, have you heard of that one? That's Rashmi Siddhis Pradesh. Oh, that's a wonderful one, all about what happens if a T-Rex gets his hands on a book. Can you imagine how the world would look? It's fantastic. All about the power of reading. There's so many wonderful picture books out there. I can't even begin to talk, but yeah, get stuck in. Get to your library. It's National Libraries Week, isn't it? So that's the place to start. We're always in and out of our library, as well as the bookshops, of course, picking things up and, you know, let your children decide, let them pick things up and obviously give them a little bit, but yeah, there's a whole world of stuff out there.
No, that's lovely. Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, I'm going to ask you about the Troll book on your left-hand side. But before I do that, Catherine, I've got a question on Twitter from Marceline, who says, do you have end papers? They probably just missed that bit in the show because we did talk about the end papers. I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit more about the end papers, because this club here, this mini book club from this particular group of young people, they're going to be drawing some for their mini club. And I wonder if you have any top tips of just to kind of explain again exactly what the end papers are so that folks can kind of get their head around it. And then just perhaps an idea about the things that are there that help with the book would be very useful for our mini clubs there.
Absolutely. Well, the end papers are these. So if I can hold this up, you will see that a picture book generally is a certain length. And there is usually two pages before the story starts, which they call end papers. Now, in this book, Betsy Bugloff Saves the Bees, these are particularly wonderful, I think. They were the idea, actually, the facts in them were the idea of Chris Modafferi, the then editor at Scholastic, which are wonderful, and Lucy obviously illustrated them. I discover the facts. And so we just wanted loads of great facts about creepy crawlies. And there's some at the beginning and there's loads at the end too. Facts that you may not know. Although my five-year-old, there is one fact in there, which is about spiders, which is the least interesting fact perhaps on the last page. It says spiders have 8 legs. And he said, "Mummy, you know, all the other facts are brilliant, but everyone knows spiders have 8 legs," which I'm not sure they do, actually. I'm not sure I knew that when I was a littler. But, you know, we've got some great ones. House flies can walk upside down. Did you know that? Which is very clever. Ladybirds can be yellow, orange, brown, pink, or even black. We get quite a lot of black ones in our garden. And there are two types of ladybirds too, aren't there? Harlequins, which are the invasive species, and the native ones, the red and black spotty ones that you find normally with the 6 spots on in the UK. So there's those. Ants, this is now, ants are my favourite. Ants can hold 100 times their own body weight.
Amazing, isn't it?
Double-decker bus or something. You know, I'll just go and hold it. They're incredible. If you get the time ever to sit outside and watch ants going back and forth with little pieces to their nest, it's just amazing. So that's the end papers. Good question. And then there's the same at the back. So, you know, it's not just the story itself. There's lots and lots for children and their teachers and parents to learn, actually, in this book. And it's funny, when you write a story, Russell, you write it for entertainment, don't you? You write it because you love the story and it comes. But actually, teachers have contacted me and say how much is in here that is to do with lots and lots of learning as well, lots of facts. It's a bit of a hybrid, particularly for STEM, for science and nature too, which is lovely.
Absolutely perfect as well. So Marceline, I hope we've answered that for you. And Casey, thank you so much for popping that on Twitter. If you're still having problems with the web page, then pop the questions in on Twitter. I'm of course across that as well. Now tell me about this troll on the toilet, please, because I'm not familiar. The book is absolutely stunning. That is going to pique the interest of certainly look at that, there's a troll on my lavatory. My goodness, tell me about that.
It wasn't originally called "There's a Troll on My Toilet." When I wrote it, that's the end papers, if we're talking, Marceline, about end papers again, that's sort of more of a, it's a little clue, actually, in this book as to who the narrator might be. I'm not going to tell you that because that's one of the parts of the book. It was called "There's a Witch in My Kitchen," and this was actually the first ever children's picture book text that I wrote for the then five-year-old. And there's just this thing going around my head. It was Halloween. There's a witch in my kitchen. She's boiling a brew. And that this line kept going. And it came from there. So basically, it's a spooky journey, really, through what looks like, it's not spooky, actually. It's sort of semi-spooky, through a house that's full of strange characters. So shall I read you a little bit from the start? So the
Thank you. Bonus read, yeah. Folks. Bonus read. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank
you. Now, you may, it's not me. It's a witch there. That's not an interpretation of me. I should say that this is by Mike Byrne is the illustrator here, also published by Scholastic. But Mike is brilliant. You can see the difference, can't you? If you look at different illustrators, the difference between styles. So Mike is also a genius, but his style is very different from Lucy's. And he's big and bold and bright and graphic and colourful. And they changed the title. Yes, they liked "There's a Troll on My Toilet." So that's what we went with. But the first character is the witch. "There's a witch in my kitchen. She's boiling a brew, mixing slimy green frog's legs with pink loopy goo. She's stirring her cauldron and casting a spell. Get out of here quick, or she'll add you as well. Abracadabra, abracadee. Who else might we find here? Come on, let's go see. There's someone peeking in at the window." And that refrain comes all the way through the book, the abracadabra. And parents and teachers tell me that it goes round in their heads a lot because they repeat this book a lot during the autumn season. The next, we've got some skeletons. "There's a skeleton dancing a jig in my den. She leaps through the air, then she twirls back again. The judges look happy. In fact, they're in awe. They're up on their feet. She's done it. Top score. Abracadabra, abracadee, who else might we find here? Come on, let's go see." And there he is, our main character. "There's a troll on my toilet." And I'll tell you what, I'll leave you guys to read the rest of it, shall I? But essentially, it's a journey through this spooky house, and you wonder why all these characters, there's a wolf having a shower, and there's a bat in the attic, and there's some ghosts sliding down the staircase, and lots of other characters. And you think, what are they all doing? Are they real? Are they not? And then at the end, you realise why they're all gathering in this house and who is telling the story. So there's a little puzzle for the end. So yeah, so there you go. It's the perfect one for the moment, isn't it? "There's a troll on my toilet," which give you a good giggle, laugh out loud, apparently, according to what teachers tell me. It always goes down well with the infant classes and the juniors as well. Actually, I've done lots of school visits around troll, and I have a little plastic squirty toilet that my troll, he's not here actually, he sits on, and that always goes down well, particularly with the juniors, when if they're not being quiet and you say, right, you open it, it squirts water in them. So that's really fun.
I love it. I can just imagine a whole class going, oh, that's so rude, on the toilet with the door open. That was really good. I love your homage to Strictly in there with the tens. That's so now, isn't it? I mean, you've just the timing is perfect. A Troll on My Toilet, folks. Absolutely stunning title. I highly recommend it as well. Not featured in today's show, but I had to mention it. It's just beautifully presented. It's like visiting you in a bookshop there as well, Catherine. It's just absolutely amazing. Now, I have another question here. Betsy is such a kind person, and we will wonder, she cares for the animals so much, and is that you? I know you've drawn from your young children's experiences, but I wonder whether that came from you originally. Where's that kind of theme come from, that care and love of nature?
Absolutely. Is it me? Yes, absolutely it is. I care about nature very much, and when I was doing the job of environment correspondent, which I did do for a few years back at Sky News actually, that really highlighted to me all of the many, many people in that sector who care so much too. But I guess if I'm talking about Betsy, genuinely, it is my little girl. She's quite an unusual, I mean, all my children love nature and they love animals. But she is quite exceptional, and she's very emotional about animals. She has always, from the tiniest ant to, seeing bigger animals, she cares very, very much. And she's taught me a lot, actually, which I think is why I was inspired to write the story, because it's quite an exceptional love of animals and nature. And really, that's where the kindness of Betsy comes through. And it's amazing, as a mum, as a teacher, you learn a lot from children, don't you? And that's something that she has definitely brought home to me.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much. Now, I'm going to play another music track now, give some folks another chance to get some writing done. And I'd like to come back. I'd like to actually just pick a bit more up on your environmental reporting for Sky News, who have got a huge program going on now, which is clearly inspired by your own self. I hope they're still paying you an absolute fortune for their cracking ideas. The only national broad or international broadcaster has a dedicated, I'm not getting any funding for this, folks, I have to say, with an environmental show on a daily basis. I mean, absolutely stunning getting that into people's minds. I just want to pick your brain, and I wonder whether Betsy's story actually was inspired, or whether this inspired that, and what you learnt as an environmental correspondent, because I'd like a little bit more, because I think that's particularly topical. Folks, you can get in contact with us on Twitter if you want. Just use the usual hashtag for us as well. And if you want to text us on your mobile phone, I'm thinking about you, Casey, as well at the moment, if you're having technical difficulties, you just need to text us 078 600 20 6400. Texts are free for most UK mobile phones, and everything is on the show page. We are back after our next music track, again just selected by me, just inspired by the show. It's just a lovely one. I hope you enjoy this. We're back after this. It's 19 minutes to 5.
You're listening to The Book Club on learnradio.net with Russell Prue.
Ah, I forgot that bit. There's always a bit at the end there, isn't there? Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Folks, the time is 17 minutes to 5. And just before we took that, it was a lovely track. Winnie the Pooh there. Zooey Deschal and M. Ward on that title as well. All the music tracks on the website as usual. Thanks so much indeed to our very special guest, Catherine, who spent some time at Sky News as their environmental correspondent. What an amazing title. And as we just broke for the music track, I was telling everyone how I think important that is at the moment in the topic, and Betsy plays beautifully. She's a very accomplished young lady who's really interested in environment and a whole range of issues as well. Did your time at Sky as the environmental correspondent inform or help with the book? Did it get you on top of the subject content?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, I have always been interested in the environment, but it was a big leap when I became the environment correspondent for Sky. And we did all sorts of things. It was a brilliant time in that we really were, myself and my producer and the cameras, we could have ideas and just go and film them. It was around the time of the Bali climate conference. We went off to the Arctic, we went to Svalbard to film there with polar bears and the seed vault and the northern lights. That was brilliant. I spent some time with a tribe in the Amazon, kind of looking at deforestation and issues there, over in Bangladesh, looking at climate change and the effects, rising sea levels. I mean, it was a brilliant, brilliant time. But it was also a very important time here in the UK as well, looking at, I mean, it was, it's good, 10 years ago now that I finished doing that. But at the time, I mean, to be quite honest about it, it's a lot of the topics that we're obviously still looking at now. And I'd love to say lots has changed in the 10 years. Perhaps definitely not enough. But things like, you know, nature, species, things like recycling, etc. But certainly bees was something that always was a story that I just do again and again and again. I remember going with a beekeeper and looking at the waggle dance, which is an amazing dance that bees do, where basically they tell each other, they sort of do this dance. And they tell each other where the best source of nectar is, and they come back to the hive, do the dance, and then all the bees follow their direction, sort of, you know, left past the church, round that way through the hedge. It's amazing. But all the time it was sort of bees, you know, in decline, numbers across the world declining, why this was happening. And so, yes, absolutely. That was a topic when I was thinking of issues that Betsy Bugloff and stories that Betsy Bugloff could investigate, if you like, bees. And how we can help them, and particularly young people, because, you know, you talk about climate conferences in faraway places in the world and writing to the government, etc. But what can little people and their families do to help the environment right here on their own doorsteps, in their own gardens, at the community garden, on their windowsills if they've got pots and wildflowers in there? So this was all about making a difference themselves.
And it does just that exactly. And what can the little people do? Well, the little people are going to be the ones that make the change, I have to say, because I think that's absolutely super, really good topic. I'm right behind you on that one. Another question here as well. What stories do you like to read?
I like to read all stories. I'm a story magpie, as most authors are, I guess. But as I say, I have three children, so 11, 9 and 5. So I get to read loads of brilliant stories all the way through. And it's evolving as my eldest daughter is older and she reads above her level. But yeah, I mean, what have I read recently? I love picture books. I read millions of picture books all the time. I've talked about them already. Read a lot of middle grade as well for the 9-year-old and the 11-year-old. And I still read to them quite a lot because, you know, despite the fact they're both okay readers, that they're great readers now, they still love being read to, and I don't think there's anything nicer than snuggling up in on the sofa or in the duvet with a hot chocolate and reading. So what are we reading at the moment? We're reading A Murder Most Unladylike, the latest one of those, which is fantastic. I don't know whether you know those, Russell.
No.
They're brilliant. Robin Stevens, set in a girl's boarding school where terrible things happen, and there's a detective agency, and the girls, it's a bit like Mallory Towers, but with sort of with terrible things happening, crimes, and they go around and investigate, and you can do all the voices, and it's really, really good fun, beautifully written. I've just finished, or not too long ago, finished Viper by Bex Hogan, which is actually for slightly older readers. That's more YA, but that's brilliant. It's about a pirate princess who goes swashbuckling around this amazing fantasy world. Such a beautifully written book, fantastic. Also by Scholastic, actually. What else? The Middler is a great middle grade by Kirsty Applebaum.
Yep.
Your readers, I'm sure, know that. The Middler is fantastic. It's sort of dystopian. There's a few by Kirsty that I've just finished. So, yeah, and I've just started A Kind of Spark as well, actually, which I have been waiting to read for ages. I've just started that, so I'm sort of halfway through that now. Yes,
lovely.
Loads. I kind of tend to read a really eclectic mix. A lot of children's, some adult too, but more sort of children and older, you know, young adult sort of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah,
oh, that's good to know. Kirsty's been a guest of ours as well, so she writes beautifully. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's been on here, honestly. So keen as well. It's the people that haven't been on are the most important people, or the most interesting, I have to say, because that was really good. Thank you. So I wondered if we can get some tips from you for young writers. So things that have helped you. What tips do you have for budding young writers? What should they do? Well, probably read to start with would be really helpful. After that,
Definitely read. I used to, like all authors will tell you, I used to read as a child. But my key tip for young writers is don't let your imagination have no boundaries. And my children teach me that all the time. You know, I think as adults, a lot of stuff comes into our lives and into our heads that puts boundaries up around our imagination, and you think, oh, I can't really go there, it can't really go. Whereas actually, if you think like a child and just embrace your inner child, and if you're a child, that's great because you are one, just let your imagination go anywhere down the craziest, funniest, most unimaginable routes, and go with it. And I think that is part of it, not having any fear to do that. Also, not worrying, this is a particular bugbear of mine, about spellings and grammar and all that stuff that you have to worry about it, kids, obviously, when the time comes. But when you're getting a story down, when you're thinking of a story in your head, let alone putting it onto a paper, onto a computer, the main thing is that you don't worry about necessarily how things are spelt or commas and punctuation. It's all about what is happening. What's happening next? Where's the story going to go? Who's your protagonist? Who's that main character? What happens to them? What happens to stop them getting to where they want to be? And how are they going to solve it in the end? What makes you laugh? What makes you smile? What makes you cry? What matters to you? Have you got a particular issue as a child? Is there something that, you know, that something's happened to you? Maybe you've moved house or something's happened at school, a friendship issue. I don't know, whatever it might be, or something really funny happens, or maybe your grandparents are the most wonderful, crazy people that they take you on all sorts of adventures. Is there something that's really pertinent to you that you really care about that you want to write about? Well, you know, get it down. And if you like drawing, draw the pictures, storyboard it out, you know, get it down and draw it out. You don't have to write the words. You've got the words in your head anyway. So just be free. Let the stories come.
I think we'd all agree with those. Perfect. Absolutely. But I love the storyboarding. I hadn't thought about that. It's very interesting for our visual learners. Just very nice, particularly who may not be confident writers to start with. A lovely way of getting that out there. And I'd probably like to add work in a group of people. So get yourself some collaboration. I've got some top tips for some extended learning opportunities coming after our next music track. Folks, it's 9:05. Catherine is with us right the way through till 5. Still more time to get any more questions. A couple of more questions coming in. I'll get those for you in just a moment. Folks, just go to the show page there and write on that. Here is our next music track.
You're listening to The Book Club on learnradio.net with Russell Prue.
Oh, I love a live show, folks. Absolutely amazing. Thank you so much indeed. It is 5:06, and Catherine Jacob is still with us. Bless. And we are so enjoying that. That was The Muppets, one of our favourite tracks, I have to say. What are you working on right now, Catherine, that you can share with us? What are you working on?
Oh, I'm actually working on lots of different things. What I can share with you is another matter. I did check this beforehand. I'm always working on Betsy, and I feel that for me, Betsy has lots more adventures to go on personally. I mean, there's a whole world of nature to explore. Bees is surely just the tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
So I'm always thinking of lots of lovely Betsy stories, and I actually have written lots of Betsy stories already over the past few years since Anna was grown up. So yes, there's lots that I love to work on there. I also have a couple of other two new projects, a series of books actually, which is for slightly older children, out early next year, which is lovely. I'm not really allowed to say too much about it, but I will be able to hopefully soon. That's very exciting. There's animals involved as well.
Lovely.
And young people and kindness and friendship, and it's going to be great. And also, what's another one? Oh, and another picture book as well, which is completely different from Betsy, with another different publisher. But yeah, it's going to be very funny and really lovely, and the detail in the illustration is going to be brilliant. So I'm just editing that at the moment, because as we all know, if you're in a school or, you know, you do writing yourself, you can't, you know, your first draft or sloppy copy, as I know some teachers call it, is not the one, is it? You have to edit and edit and edit, and you know, you go through 20, 30 drafts till you get it right. And so that's the process I'm in at the moment, working back and forth on a new picture book with editors. So yeah, lots going on actually. My brain is all sorts of places.
Oh, that's lovely.
At the moment, it's all good.
Lovely. Are you broadcasting? Just a question for me particularly at the moment. Are you broadcasting at all at the moment? You're doing some broadcasting alongside, you're doing a little bit on the side, or I don't know, are you local?
Yeah.
Independent news, what are you doing?
No, I work generally for ITN, so I do 2 days a week for Channel 5 news. I have not been very well with my eyesight recently, so I have I've had to take a step back the last couple of months from that, because I can't actually drive at the moment, would you believe?
Oh, bless.
Yeah, so normally I do 2 days a week for them, which is lovely, all around the north of England. So reporting on everything from, I don't know, home affairs to sport to medical stories to anything that comes up. As you know, I'm a roving reporter, and that has always been my job as well, which is lovely, and involves writing, obviously, the reports for and presenting them on the programme in the evening. So that's exciting too. But so at the moment, the key focus, though, is the books, which is lovely.
Love it.
And getting them. Yeah.
I think that's superb. For young people to see someone famous and then to be able to read your work, they can kind of connect with you. It's a good role model exercise as well for young people. I think that's where you're very successful. It's good. Folks, every week, Maria and I come up with some extended learning opportunities. And in her absence, I still have them for you today. And I'll just run through these and then we'll thank Catherine and let her go today. And thank you so much indeed. So if you are into investigation, folks, we recommend perhaps you could look at what creatures you can find in your garden and outdoor space. You might like to make a chart or actually write them up in a story if you wanted to. Now, if you're into inventing, you could create a garden on a tray and grow some plants in there as well. Lovely way of bringing that garden indoors. Very powerful. Now, if you're a communicator, you could pretend to interview Betsy and write up your report for a newspaper. What a lovely way. You could do both the questions and her answers. What a lovely way of connecting with the story there as well. Now, if you're into collaborating, that's working with lots of people, why don't you work with some friends to create a new garden design for a community shared space? What might that garden have in it? And you'll find some clues and some helpful material in the book itself. So you'll need a copy of that book to do that one. If you are super creative and you want to do something on that spectrum, then we suggest you collect some wild flowers and press them into a design between two sheets of paper. You can get into that. It's easy peasy. You can just Google and look up on YouTube for some top tips on flower pressing as well. Lots going on as well, and it really does connect you with the outdoor space as well. Now, thinking and philosophy is one of our top topics this year as well. We think this is very important. Should there be a law against block paving? That's your philosophy and thinking activity there. Should there be a law against block paving your garden or laying astroturf instead of lawn? Should we ban that? Consider how car ownership has changed what we do with our gardens. Now, that's probably a little bit older for some of our very young readers, but I think lovely to give them the challenge to think about the impact of all this concrete in our outdoor spaces. I think that's lovely. And the book plays beautifully into the hands of that topic as well. Catherine, it's been an amazing experience to meet you. Thank you so much indeed. Such a powerful broadcaster that's brought an amazing book. I just can't stop touching it. It's a lovely book, folks, and absolutely this needs to be in your school. Grab a copy. There's a link on the website. Karen and David are standing by to take your orders live today if you want to grab yourself a copy. Absolutely stunning. Thank you so much indeed for being a fabulous guest and for sharing that with us. We really, really appreciate that. It's been absolutely magical. Thank you very much, Catherine. It's been lovely to see you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's been a delight. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure. We'll catch up with Catherine a little later on. I'll say thank you so much now. And I'll just have a cheerio goodbye. If you have to go, I completely understand, but absolutely perfect. But I'll come back in just a second. Just going to wrap up the show now and tell folks what's on next week. But I'd like to say thank you to you again personally, if you can. But if you have to go, that's just perfectly. Okay. Folks, it's exactly 5 o'clock and just time for me to tell you about next week's title. Thank you so much indeed. We have got James Mayhew on the show and we are looking at his very latest book, Once Upon a Tune. It's a stunning book. 6 very special stories and 6 pieces of music. We probably won't get through all 6 pieces of music. Classical music introducing, there were some great stories as well. And as you know, James is a long-term guest of ours and he paints beautifully. And he's going to do us a drawing live on the show. That's here next week at the same time, same place. Now, if you're available tomorrow lunchtime, you can catch me for my very first lunchtime show and broadcasting live into a conference to provide some lunchtime audio entertainment for them. 1:15 to 2 o'clock tomorrow. It's also my birthday tomorrow. So if you want to join us and say happy birthday, I'd love to give you a shout out on our show. Until then, thank you so much indeed. It's goodbye from all of us at learnradio.net. And thanks so much indeed to our fabulous author, Catherine Jacob. I loved the book. Highly recommended from us. Until next time, it's goodbye from me.
That's the end of our live studio broadcast for the moment. Just before we put you back into our rolling program, please visit our website, learnradio.net, for all the live show details and please follow us on Twitter at LearnRadioLive. You can download any of our broadcasts as a podcast and subscribe to our feed so that you never miss another podcast. Just visit podcast.learnradio.net and subscribe using your favorite platform. We also videocast our shows, And you can watch them again by visiting our videocast menu at the top of our page or by going to learnradio.net/videocast. Enjoy our full archive of learning materials completely free of charge any time of the day. Just visit learnradio.net. We're entirely self-funded and rely on your kind donations for support. Please give generously to support our project. Find our GoFundMe link at the bottom of the page. Thanks for listening to learnradio.net. Live radio for learning.